Joining us right now, it's our buddy Teddy Bruschi. Want some lunch, Teddy? We got lots of stuff here.
How got a haircut, doing? Huh?
I'm good. No, yeah.
Just no dew gel up in it.
No, just natural.
Zoe is filling in for our buddy Michael, who has slept his last late morning of his life.
Yeah, congratulations to the Holly family.
Very cool.
Beautiful baby boy.
He was a pretty excited guy yesterday when I talked to him.
I can imagine. I remember my first, and it's a special moment in a man's life.
It absolutely is, and I love the name, Robinson Coltrane Holly.
Very inspirational, isn't
it? Pretty dedicated.
Yeah.
Name like that. Well,
it's very nice.
We were talking about the game last night, and from a defensive point of view, and I made this statement earlier, you can wrap me upside the head or not, I felt like they couldn't run the ball against you. They had no chance on the ground. And yet throwing the ball, I felt like Peyton Manning could do almost anything he wanted. Is that inaccurate?
Yes and no. I mean, I think there was that was our strength, one of our strengths last night, and actually been the entire year, stopping the run and trying to make teams one-dimensional, because we really want to stop the run, and then we can know what's coming versus on third down, especially if we get in teams and maybe third and five plus. You know, that's almost a win for us. So to win on first down, to get them in a second and eight, in a second and three, and really just start to discourage teams from running the ball is something we wanted to do. In terms of the pass, I mean, I was looking at the statistics a little bit last night, and we're playing against Peyton Manning. Yeah. You know, he's one of the better quarterbacks, if not the best in the game. And he had a good game. He was very accurate last night, had a great rating. And he made his plays when he had to. So it's football. It's football. When you have it's going to be a tight game no matter what the situation is, when it's the Patriots and the Colts. In the end, it's going to be that team that makes them, you know, in the fourth quarter. And it's been us in the past, but last night it was them.
We've seen that base 3-4 alignment where you guys, you know, as backers, you're off the line of scrimmage. It seemed like last night you guys were trying to jump some things where you'd cover everybody across the front. Was that basically for just the Colts, or, you know, we haven't seen you do that this year?
Well, in terms of playing at inside linebacker, there were some matchups we had last night, maybe on Clark or on Robinson, the other tight end, number 47, and covering a die also at certain times. Myself, Gerard Mayo, Gary Guyton in there at inside linebacker, also incorporating a Delius and Vrabel, you know, sort of changing it up. We didn't want to give them the same look every time. So if you make yourself predictable against Peyton Manning, he figures it out sort of quickly, you know, and then he can always hit the right throw and the right type of coverage. So we did try to change it up a little bit.
I know I've asked you this in the past, but for people who are listening to us different times, and how much of the stuff Peyton's doing at the line of scrimmage is just junk, and how much of it is real, and how do you figure out the difference?
Well, there are times you take a mental note. You take a mental note before the snap of in terms of what he's saying and what he's telling his offensive line and his running backs, which way is he pointing and things like that. And then after that, he runs the play, and you sort of try to put the two together. So you sort of take a mental note for the next time. But there have been times where I've taken that mental note, then heard the same thing later on in the game, and it was an opposite play. So you really have to take everything with a grain of salt. There are some possible words you can pick up on, but I think as a defense, we really just try to trust our keys.
Seems like it got you in some matchup problems early in the game where you had Gonzalez and Harrison to one side in the slot, and you guys got two young guys out there. You got Wheatley and Wilhite, and they got crossed up on a couple of the crossing routes. Peyton made some great throws. I mean, you guys are there in coverage. It's just it seems like you're one step away from getting that ball knocked out.
Well, we're running man coverage, and then running man beaters. You know, when they run the pick routes or a delay route where two goes forward and three comes delaying under, which is one of their favorite routes. So at a couple times our defensive backs and linebackers were on some same levels, and when you do that, sometimes you get picked. So I think that's them recognizing we were in man coverage, and then maybe Peyton at the line sort of telling them the man beater routes and you know, them executing it. So I think we got better at that as the game went on. But even if a guy is covered a little bit, like Clark down the seam on Gerard that one time. I mean, Gerard had great coverage on him, but Peyton put the ball inside and blow his hip, you know, where he really couldn't turn around and knock the ball down, and Clark was able to sort of dive on the ground and catch the ball. I mean, those are the type of throws you have to defend against Peyton Manning.
Not looking for criticism, because I know you won't offer any, but just were you surprised that the coaching staff elected to kick the field goal after calling the timeout on the failed the successful fourth down play? But
well, after that, no. I mean, because We did the quick quarterback sneak, and it looked like that would have been a first down, but we called the timeout before the play. So, I mean, if we didn't call the timeout, hindsight, if we didn't call the timeout, we're going to get the first down. But now we call the timeout, so now you sort of give the team a little bit of time to regroup and get the people on the field that they want to get on the field and sort of match up against who we have on the field offensively. So then it's like, okay, let's just kick the field, go get these points, and get out of here.
That's a good point I hadn't thought about in terms of you've called the timeout now, so they've been able to change their personnel grouping perhaps.
Right, so it's like, okay, we got them. First down, yes. Oh, who called the timeout? We called the timeout. So now it's like, well, do you go for it again on fourth down? Well, now they're sort of ready for it a little bit. Yeah. And they can put their big guys out there if they're anticipating a sneak. They can sort of pinch their D lineman in there in the A gaps. Maybe they weren't doing that on the play before because they're on their toes. Now they sort of know. So, all right. If we didn't call a timeout, we would have had the first down, yes. But, okay, we called the timeout. That's what it is. Now they're ready for it, so let's just kick the ball.
Yeah. Pretty good feeling, you know, halfway through the year right now. You know, we've talked about it, you know, at length throughout the show. You know, quarter into the season, Tom goes down. Seems like Matt, personally, for three straight games here, he's starting to feel himself pretty good. He's starting to feel comfortable. He looks like the game's coming to him a lot easier. Do you see that happening in practice, too?
Yeah, as we like to just put it simply, is he's getting better. You know, which is always what we try to stress, and we say day in, day out. I mean, even after the loss last night, just continue to get better, to continue to work. And that's all we could really have asked of Matt this year. I mean, a quarter goes down and 12's gone for the entire season. So it's like, okay, Castle, I mean, everyone had their criticisms on Matt in the preseason. I remember that. They were really hard on him because Tom didn't play in the preseason. Offense struggled a little bit with Castle at quarterback, but then Castle comes in, and over the course of the season, now midway point, 5-3, he's gotten better. And that's all you can really ask of him. I think he's shown more than just improvement. I think he's shown at times where, I mean, a few of those third down throws last night, I mean, he's sticking them in there for third down conversions, and we're getting up fired up on the defense because there's Welko for a first down, there's Moss for a first down, and that's Castle just converting those third down conversions, which is what a good quarterback does. And I mean we know we've got a good quarterback there in Matt Castle, and so I mean we continue to play good defense, special teams, you know, wins the field position battle, and that puts our quarterback in a comfortable position and where he can feel like, you know, I can do this and get the job done.
I'm curious from a defensive perspective, if you put yourself in the Colts defense's shoes, how demoralizing is it when you know the Patriots offense seemed to make the exact right call every time? Safeties come up, we'll throw the ball. Safeties stay back, we'll run the little delay draw. It's got to be demoralizing when you're on that defense and you're seeing 5, 6, 7 yards being run at you every single play.
Yeah, I think you could tell what our offensive game plan last night was in terms of the sort of misdirection draw, quick screen, or draw, throw it on a slant or something like that, or give the draw. That's a good game plan going in, as you can see that, but to execute it and call the right plays at the right time, is that something where your quarterback is recognizing the formations and recognizing the defense they're playing to call the right play, and the offensive coordinator and coaching staff, you know, calling the right play and giving him the right option. So I think they executed that really well. I mean, when you're running and it's a draw and you're getting seven yards a pop, and me as a former defensive lineman, I know when you love to rush the passer as like Mathis and Freeney does, and you're just flying upfield, and you're flying upfield, and you want to get that sack, and you see that quarterback in the shotgun all those times, and it's a draw, and they get 7 yards, and all of a sudden it's 2nd and 3. That is a little bit discouraging because, okay, now do I not rush as hard? Do I not rush as hard this next play to get this sack? Do I not do that double, triple spin move, which is like they usually do?
Back to the Chris Slade days.
Yeah.
Slade would get upfield, and then boom, he'd hit you in the
air. Yeah, exactly. So that can be sort of discouraging, especially as a front seven.
Did they ever catch you in some personnel mismatches? It looks like you guys were ahead of the game. You know, you got the two defensive linemen on. I think you had 4 backers, 5 DBs. You go that athletic nickel look. I don't know if that's what you call it.
Sure.
But did you ever get crossed up as far as when they popped some of those 10-yarders?
You know, we did it. And, you know, we worked on that really, really hard this week because we know about sort of a Peter call that maybe Peyton will give his offensive line or something, especially down in the red zone, and they bring in another personnel grouping, and that's the longest distance to travel when you're running into the defense when they're inside the 20 and you have to stay behind the 30. So you got that long distance to travel and guys are going in and off, and then all of a sudden they just get to the line of scrimmage and they snap the ball, 12 men on the field, and then all of a sudden they've got five yards and it's a 1st and 5. So, I mean, I think we did a good job of recognizing as players looking to the Colts sideline instead of just looking to our sideline. And all of a sudden, you see Gonzalez in, and then Robinson 47's running out. Okay, I'm not in on this package. Let's get out. You know. So and then communicating that in the huddle. So I mean, you go back a little bit, running back and forth, but that was the way we wanted to match up against them. And you know, because there are times when we play the Colts. And guys running in and then back out and then stopping at the numbers and they're like, am I in?
That's tough on Vince. Yeah. I mean, you got Vince, yo. He's toting 350.
He's going back and forth a lot. You can get a little tired. But I think we're on the same page last night substitution-wise, absolutely.
A little weird this late in the season to finally be getting a look at the Buffalo Bills finally this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, in past we've opened with them. Yeah. You know, and we've spent entire preseasons preparing for them in terms of being our opener. But, I mean, so we're past the midway point of the season and finally sort of still need to get into that divisional race. And so it's something we're looking forward to. I mean, we've had some, you know, West teams that we've had to play and some St. Louis Rams teams, you know, that, like, you know, you really got to get familiar with again. So you sort of know what type of players you're going up against this week. And it's nice to get in this division race because I think the AFC East is really just sort of telling you what it's going to be this year. If you look at it, it's just going to be a dogfight to the finish on who wins it. I mean, last year, I mean, at this time, we were running away with it, right? But this year, it's going to be a team that's going to win it by one game or one and a half games or something like that.
Congratulations on the first half of the season so far. I know yesterday didn't end the first half the way you wanted. Best of luck to you.
All right, thank you.
Our weekly conversation with Teddy Bruschi.